Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Tradwife content suddenly blowing up. The so-called tradwife trend, I believe, is blowing up. Well, first let me explain that the tradwife lifestyle is not a trend. It is not trendy to be a traditional wife. This has been done since the beginning of time. However, content showcasing this lifestyle is becoming trendy and popular. Thus, the tradwife is trending right now, if that makes sense.
Okay, can I start with this? Anybody who calls being a traditional wife or a housewife or a stay-at-home mom trad wife, I'm gonna have a hard time being friends with you because it's such a silly term. But nevertheless, I do not get to decide how TikTok curates its culture. And so, sure enough, trad wife is now a hot topic. And this is one of the women who's kind of at the center of it all. Her name is Melissa Persling. She is on TikTok, goes by the handle... What is it? Estec Williams. I don't know. Anyway, I watched a couple of her videos yesterday, and I'm also not a super fan of the way she sounds, but I'm not the one who has to marry her, and I've often said this. Just, you know, when you guys a lot of times pay attention to how somebody looks. I recommend you pay attention to character and how she sounds, because you're going to spend a lot more time dealing with the consequences of who somebody is on the inside and their voice than anything else. Can I get an amen from the crowd? Anyway, but back to this woman, Melissa Persling, talking about being a traditional wife. She's going to say some things here that are going to drive some people just plain crazy. Why are women interested in being a traditional wife now?
Some of the reasons I believe that tradwife content is trending, one, because we have a culture that is trying to blur the distinction between being a man and a woman.
I don't think you can even argue that point.
Two, it is more popular to have two providers in the home rather than one provider and one homemaker.
As it used to be much more normal to have a at home and an out working, right? But now it's much more common to have both people working and then trying to make at home work whenever they can in their extra time. But that leads to...
Three. We have a whole generation of women who are burnt out at their career and they're tired of being a provider and a homemaker when they come home from their job.
And feeling that as a woman, it is your natural obligation to take care of the family and therefore it falls on you. You're the safety net. You know, you're the basically the essential person. And so, you know, if your man isn't doing enough or even if he is, you still feel like it's up to you. And if you're working a full-time out-of-the-house job outside and then coming home and being a mom is a full-time job inside the home, then, you know, you can get pretty easily discouraged and frustrated. That's, I think, a pretty normal human sentiment. And then you feel guilty about not doing enough and so forth.
Four, fast food is far more common to eat and pre-made and processed food rather than food from scratch, which is why you will see these made-from-scratch creators getting more popular.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. I don't know if people are frustrated with fast food or feel like it'd be better to make their own. I do agree that a lot of people just don't know how to cook. A lot of women just don't know how to cook because we went through a whole generation where we were taught, you know, go outside, get a job, you know, go be a provider, and then, you know, maybe at some point in the future, well, you know, look, there's food. You can just order food, right? It wasn't necessary. So among my friends, you know, we have the Men Who Cook event coming up. I know at least as many men who are the primary cook in their household. I am. I'm the primary cook in our household. You know, I know at least as many men who are the primary cook in the household as women, and that's as a byproduct of shifting roles, shifting notions of who's responsible for what, and frankly, not doing what she calls number five.
Five, basic homemaking skills being taught to young girls in the home has skipped a generation. Thus, we have a whole generation of women that are hungry to learn these basic skills, and they are looking to the internet to teach them these skills.
And she says, look, this notion of being a traditional wife, some view it as a overcorrection or a pendulum swing back. She says, no, it's just kind of reasserting something that has always been an option but has fallen out of favor among the cultural elites for, you know, 30 or 40 years post-feminism.
This is what happens when the pendulum swings so far one way. It has to come back down. And a lot of people believe the tradwife movement is an overcorrection to modern feminism. I do not believe that. I believe the tradwife movement is bringing balance back to families. Anyways, those are some reasons I believe that tradwife content is blowing up all of a sudden. Bye.
Okay. I'm never, ever going to say the phrase tradwife in any circumstance out loud. If you want that to be your hashtag on TikTok, that's fine. But please, oh, the saying of it, it drives me crazy. That's only the preamble, okay? What I thought was much more interesting, I just wanted you kind of to get that set up in your mind. I thought it was much more interesting, her recommendations on how to be a traditional wife and why she likes it. We'll say we'll have that for you in just a second. Jake's got our traffic on the fives. Jake?
And she learned it all from TikTok. I'm sure it's great.
That's right. Which is, historically, that's how you were trained to be a traditional wife, is by watching TikTok. That's,
yes,
you got
that's
a degree
how my grandmother...
in TikTokonomics is how you got the degree back
exactly,
in the day.
Exactly, yeah. I-10 and I-110 look like they're flowing smoothly this morning. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre not showing any issues there. If you're coming out of Milton through Pace on Highway 90, nothing slowing you down. If you're coming through Cantonment on Highway 27 this morning, or Highway 29. Highway 27 is where I grew up. Highway 29, not seeing any issues there through Cantonment. Looks like Chase Street, Gregory Street, Garden Street, Palafox, all checking in clear. No slowdowns on Cervantes and Bayfront Parkway, not showing any problems. If you do see something out there on the roadway slowing you down, you can always let us know on our traffic tip line. That phone number is 850-437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. All right, so back to my TikTok traditional wife, trad wife
so
advocate.
Trad.
I can't say it. Anyway, Melissa Persling, who is, as I say, kind of at the center of a lot of online controversy. If you look up trad wife, you will find her, okay, and the conversations people are having about this. Here are her suggestions for how to be a good traditional wife.
How to become a traditional wife. Number one, embracing ultra-traditional gender roles into your marriage. The man, he is the provider, the main breadwinner. He goes out of the house and works. The woman, the wife, she is the homemaker. She takes care of the home. She takes care of herself, and she does the cooking and the cleaning.
Oh my God, how can she say it out loud? What's horrible? She hates women. Is that your reaction? I mean, that's some people's reaction. You know, their eye starts twitching. You know,
she didn't mention the kids.
All she's saying is, this is what we do. This is what I like. This is what I want to do with my life. And, oh, my God, I can feel it on behalf of the people indoctrinated into feminism about how awful and horrible and terrible this is.
Number two, and I cannot stress this enough, you have to marry the right man. If you marry a guy who, in your dating life, he showed abusive and control tendencies, this is a disaster waiting to happen, because when you become financially dependent on this man, he will abuse all of that. So make sure that you take your dating life very seriously. If you are not dating to eventually marry that person, you're wasting your time.
See, I very much agree with that. Dating is marriage trials. And you want to be more emphatic about saying no than about saying yes. Like, you're disqualifying people. Be picky. Find somebody worth finding. You know, dating is supposed to lead towards marriage, which is why most people do dating so wrong, because their dating is not designed towards marriage. It's designed towards dating and short-term gratification and fun instead of finding a long-term spouse. And if you wanted to produce that, you would do it very differently. But yeah, avoiding people who are manipulative, abusive, even though they might be fun or something like that. Yeah, I mean, if you put yourself in this position and you marry an abuser, you're going to get problems, right? Okay, now this is the next three are the ones where people are just going to lose their minds. Some will. Other people are like, I don't get what's controversial about this. I mean, this is just the way we did it for a long time until, you know, basically around the 60s, okay?
Number three, learn to cook, learn to clean, and learn how to host. I probably got in the kitchen at like 3 years old with my mom, and she taught me how to cook, how to bake. She taught me how to clean, although I could definitely progress on that. Cooking and cleaning are life skills that can benefit you and your family forever.
You think she's wrong? You think a husband who has a stay-at-home wife who cooks for him and cleans isn't going to feel good about that, isn't going to like that? I mean, what do you want in life? You know, do you want some picture of everybody stressed out and everybody's working and you're making more money so you can afford more things you didn't really need in the first place and you feel guilty about all the stuff? Or do you, I mean, do you maybe want a marriage in which both people have a role and both people do their part and both people seem to be happy with it? I am not, and she is not, by the way, saying that everybody has to or should do this, but, you know, there is an option here that our culture has decided is inappropriate for women. Women can't really be productive, successful members of society, can't use the education that they went to school to get if they don't go out into the workplace and contribute economically. I will tell you, my wife stays home, and she homeschools our kids and manages our household, and it works pretty good for us for 26 years. Is it for everybody? I mean, you know, I'm not going to tell you that. I'm just telling you it's an option that your modern society has told you does not work. I know an awful lot of people for whom this really works.
Number four, you have to have something for yourself. As a traditional wife, you are spending a lot of your day catering to others, whether it is your husband or your family, and it's important to have something that is meant just for you. This could be sewing, this could be painting, I don't know, ice skating. Find something that is just for you and put that in your life every single day.
It could also, by the way, be charitable work, serving in community organizations. That's also something that, at least historically, was very common for non-outside-of-the-home working moms, is that they would do that. And that's something that suffered over the years because women would go into the workplace and there were fewer women who had the free time in order to serve in these community organizations. Number five?
And number five, and I mean this in the best way possible, upkeep your beauty maintenance. Men, husbands, they're very visual, and I'm not saying put a full face of makeup on every day, but I do mean to pull yourself together and to make sure that you look presentable, whatever that may mean to you. For me, full face of makeup. I love house dresses, and that's just me. But make sure you are keeping up with your beauty and yourself. You are fit, you are healthy, because you and your husband will benefit from this. There you have it. A couple ways you could become a traditional wife. Bye.
How dare she? Again, she thinks that her role in life is to have a happy marriage, is to make her husband feel loved and to be attractive for him because he enjoys that. And so she does that. Oh, she's ruining womanhood for everybody. Is she? I mean, what would you think? You know, he should just love her for who she is. Okay, sure, true. That's the unconditional covenant part of marriage, right? That's true. But what if a guy said, I'm just not going to do the household chores. She should love me for who I am. You know, I'm not going to help her with this or that because she should just love me for who I am. I'm not going to really go to work because she should just love me for who I am. I mean, marriage is part unconditional commitment. It is also part role performance. And taking all of the tasks that it takes to make a marriage and a family work, and somebody's got to do all of it, right? So who does which part? And if he likes to look at her, and most men like to look at their wives, and she thinks, oh, that's a way for me to make him happy and enjoy being a part of this partnership, then I will do that. It's just funny how people will react to this. By the way, she is totally dead on in a part that I'm not going to be able to play for you. She says that she's not saying this is for everybody. She's not making it as a norm. She's just saying, this is how I do it. This is how we do it. I guarantee that the hate for this is enormous. Because she is saying not every woman has to go outside of the home to get a job in order to feel satisfied and successful and feel productive. That's the lie that's been taught by modern feminism, is that you cannot be happy unless you do that. And then some women are. Some women are very happy doing that. Some women are very miserable doing that. You know, the old rule was stay in the home, and that's the only way to be happy. And some women were miserable doing that. She's just saying, hey, there's choices. Decide what works for you. Make it work for you. Don't tell me how I need to live, and I won't tell you how you ought to live, but I'll just tell you this is how we do it. And this works for us. 624 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Let's see. Somebody here says, cost of living makes it harder for a man than in the 60s and 70s. That's true. Also, the need to have a better lifestyle as opposed to the 60s and 70s makes it harder. The ability to live on a single income is challenging, but in part that's because of the choices that we make with regards to what we buy. But that's true. Somebody says fit, not necessarily, but definitely healthy. I mean, you know, you can work on both. Somebody here says, I totally agree. I didn't get married, so I was going to cook and wash my own clothes. This is a guy, I assume. I do work outside the home, and she does the work inside the home. And somebody here says, I have a feeling she's going to end up on your transgressor service tomorrow. Maybe. No preview here. We'll see. Somebody says, feminism isn't about equality and choice. It's now just a vehicle for misandry, hatred of men, and watered-down communism. Often true. Often true. Not always, but often. Jake's got our traffic on the fives. Jake?
I'm not seeing any major issues on our roadways this morning. I-10 and I-110 look like they're flowing smoothly. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre, not showing any issues there. If you're coming out of Milton through Pace on Highway 90 this morning, not seeing anything there. Chase Street, Gregory Street, Garden Street, Palafox, all checking in clear. We're good from 12th Avenue through to Palafox and W. Avalon is clear through to Garson Point Bridge. If you see anything on the roadways this morning slowing you down, let us know about it. You can call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. It's 625 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
It's Volkswagen's 75th anniversary sales event, and Feedmore Imports is offering low APR rates to help celebrate. How low? How about 0% for 60 months on all 2024 Tiguan models? Or take $2,000 in customer cash and 1.9% for 60 months on all 2024 Atlas and Atlas Cross Sport models. Or take $3,000 in customer cash. It's time to celebrate and get behind the wheel of a Volkswagen SUV or crossover today. There's plenty to go around, but with rates like these, they may not be around for long. And don't forget about the 2024 Jetta, Golf GTI, and Golf R. They're all available, too, at Feedmore Imports. Celebrate the Volkswagen 75th anniversary sales event at Feedmore Imports today. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Feedmore Imports is at 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate for qualifying credit through PCI. Must take delivery by April 30th, 2024. See dealer for details.
It's the biggest party of the year, coming April 6th.
Pensacola Little Theater presents Cabaret. Express yourself. Come paint the town red. Pensacola Little Theater transforms the entire building and the surrounding block into an indoor and outdoor entertainment complex for one unforgettable night. You'll find yourself winding through the bands, DJs, flash mobs, ballerinas, singers, dancers, and so much more, including 6 open bars and culinary art. Don't miss the biggest party of the year, Cabaret.
Get your tickets now at the PLT box office or at PensacolaLittleTheater.com.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on IdentifyEPI.com and talk to your doctor. That's IdentifyEPI.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Let's be honest, nobody likes taxes, but they are necessary to maintain roads, support schools, and fund public services. Wouldn't it be great if someone else paid our taxes? In Escambia County, they do. Our beautiful community draws millions of visitors who spend over $1 billion each year. The taxes they pay help lower the tax burden for locals. Tourism works for all residents and businesses in Escambia County. This message brought to you by Visit Pensacola.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR-TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Look, sir, droids.
Heads up! Heads up! Here's another one.
Yeet, yeet. 629 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Did you just say yeet?
I did. It was in the song.
One of the past lead singers for the Drifters has passed away. Joe Blunt was 74. He died Tuesday at his home in Maryland. He became a member of the Drifters in 1975, spent 10 years with them. And then moved back to the D.C. area and performed gospel music there. And a pregnant woman in Memphis says she's grateful to get her car back after a violent armed carjacking recently. Local news reports there say the woman was carjacked after a suspect in another vehicle rammed her car, then forced her out at gunpoint. She left something behind, Andrew. Her Bible, which also had an AirTag in it. And that helped locate the car.
She had an AirTag in her Bible?
She did.
Oh, okay. All right. I've misplaced a Bible before, so I understand that. Oh, and by the way, Joe Lieberman passed away, who was the vice presidential candidate, of course, for Al Gore, and he almost became the VP candidate for John McCain as well, the longtime Democrat, then independent senator. 82 years old.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The search is suspended for four men working on the Key Bridge in Baltimore when it was hit by a cargo ship and collapsed, debris making it unsafe for divers. Two bodies are recovered.
The bodies were found in a red pickup truck that was submerged under about 25 feet of water. The head of the National Transportation Safety Board says there appears to be a sheen on the water surface and many containers with hazardous material inside on board that crashed cargo ship.
Fox's Brooke Singman. Former Connecticut Senate Democrat Joe Lieberman died. He was 82 years old.
He may have been best known as former Vice President Al Gore's running mate in the turbulent 2000 presidential election. He eventually broke from the Democratic Party, serving his final term in the Senate as an independent, and almost became Republican John McCain's running mate in 2008.
Fox's Jill Nato. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 53 degrees, clear skies in Pensacola. Well, we are getting some local reaction to that bridge collapse in Baltimore. Clark Merritt, director from the Port of Pensacola, tells us that one of the major selling points of our port is there's no overhead structures for vessels to worry about, as well as direct access to the Gulf. He does say there are plenty of safety measures, including a state-licensed pilot and tugboats that escort the ship both in and out.
Not only do those tugs help assist the docking of the ship when it comes in and when it goes out, but it's also there in case the ship loses power, which, as we saw with the Baltimore accident, is exactly what happened.
And Merritt says the tugboats keep a ship in the channel in the event of power loss, as well as directing them away in the event that a ship was heading towards a dock or berths in downtown Pensacola. Well, we're 2 months out from the start of the hurricane season on June 1st, and one leading forecaster predicting it could be potentially explosive this year. AccuWeather releasing their seasonal forecast yesterday, they are predicting 20 to 24 named storms, 8 to 12 of those becoming hurricanes, 4 to 7 potentially reaching major hurricane strength of Cat 3 or higher. An average season has 14 named storms, including 7 hurricanes. Last year's hurricane season ended with an above average 20 named storms, ranking 4th for the highest number of named storms on record. Well, a new law targeting squatters in the state taking effect this summer. Governor DeSantis in Orlando to sign the bill yesterday.
In places like New York and California, that's exactly what's happening in this country. Homes are being, those states and their laws are not siding with the homeowners, they're siding with the squatters.
And that measure will strip squatters of their rights, allowing homeowners to immediately remove people living illegally on their property after they fill out a form, give it to police. It'll also create tougher penalties for anybody who presents a false lease or deed document. That law going into effect this July. And the DeSantis-Disney feud might be over now. Lawsuits filed by the company and its new oversight board were settled yesterday. Of course, that feud has been ongoing for a couple of years now since Disney publicly criticized the parental rights and education law. Governor Ron DeSantis said a lot of Disney's criticism of that law came from company officials that were based in California. Well, Swifties in South Florida have something to look forward to. The University of Miami offering an elective class this year that's called The Mastermind of the Taylor Swift Brand. According to the University of Miami student newspaper, the Miami Hurricane, that course will focus on the pivotal role that social media has played in crafting and amplifying Taylor Swift's billion-dollar brand. And one person I'm sure will be signing up for the Taylor Swift class is Jake, who also has our traffic on the fives.
Oh, I was on the waiting list. I'm already in. My registration is there. I'm there. That actually sounds interesting, though. I mean, even though she is way overexposed in our society, it's an amazing story what she's been able to do. So
she has done a lot.
Yes, definitely. And some of those songs are mighty catchy, I got to say. I-10 and I-110 look like they're flowing smoothly this morning. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre, no issues there. Highway 90 coming out of Milton through Pace, not seeing any major slowdowns there. Let's see here. No delays on Burgess or Olive. Highway 29 is accident-free from the Atmore Cutoff in Molino through Cantonment. West Detroit Boulevard, Johnson Avenue, Cody Lane, all of that's checking in good. If you do see anything out there on the roadways slowing you down, you can always call or text our traffic tip line. That phone number is 850-437-1620. This traffic report is brought to you by Indeed.com. Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, Jake. And now our Channel 3 weather forecast this morning.
We will have plenty of sunshine today with temperatures rising near 72 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 47. Beautiful and sunny as you go into Friday with a high near 71. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 55. The nice weather continues for your Saturday with just a few passing clouds, high near 74 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 60. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now it's 53 in Pensacola, 53 in Gulf Breeze, and 54 in Milton. Your next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. United Health Group has paid out more than $3.3 billion to providers affected by the cyber attack on its subsidiary, Change Healthcare. The cyber threat that occurred in February left many healthcare providers unable to fill medications or get reimbursed for their services by insurers. The health giant has been working to restore Change Healthcare systems, but according to its website, disruptions will continue into April. Shares of United Health have fallen more than 6% since the attack was disclosed. Home Depot has announced it is acquiring SRS Distribution in an $18.25 billion deal. It's the company's latest and biggest push to win sales from home professionals like contractors who tackle major projects, particularly as homeowners pull back on DIY. The acquisition is the largest in Home Depot's history. Futures are little changed. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials gained 477. That's your money now.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, a Pfizer vaccine.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable? Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast. From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered. Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Ago, the News Journal put out this article, One Storm Away from Losing the Blues, and they're right. And so we need to collectively on this board, that base brings in over $6 billion for this county. It's not just in District 2, it's over 45% of our economy. There's no way that it doesn't affect everyone in Escambia County. So this consolidation compatibility utilization study, I want to do all the things that we can in it because I think it's important and we highlight it. And I appreciate the work, Drew, and I don't want to be overcritical, but it's very concerning to me.
Yes, sir.
It was very clear from Mike Kohler's commissioner for District 2 in Escambia County's comments, a longtime serving naval captain, 33 years in the Navy, retired, commander of major medical training operation, a nurse. And he says that the compatibility utilization study, that's about, it's a short 240 pages, but it has to do with the base's relationship to the entire community, NAS Pensacola, Corey Field, Corey Station, and what that means for our community. He's concerned. And if he's concerned, I'm concerned. Joining us now, Mike Kohler, District 2 County Commissioner. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Well, good morning, Andrew. How are you today?
I'm worried. I have always known that this was kind of the thing we should be paying attention to. Post-Sally, $400 million in damage, concern about loss of mission, consolidation, reallocation, schools. There are issues. So you tell me, you tell our listeners, how concerned should we be and what should we be concerned about?
Well, I think we just need to have heightened awareness. Okay, so in my 33 years in the Navy, I was part of the 1993 BRAC, as many of you know, that closed multiple military installations across the United States. At that time, I was stationed in Oak Knoll. The chairman of the Armed Services Committee was a guy named Congressman Ron Dellums. He came to Oak Knoll. We all went down. He said, look, you have nothing to worry about here. We're not closing Alameda. We're not closing Treasure Island. We're not closing the hospital. About 7 months later, the admiral came down and we had an all hands. He said, we got to prepare to close the hospital. So, you know, and then the CONUS study, Navy Hospital Pensacola, it affected multiple healthcare facilities, not just Navy. I was part of that. And when I was director of healthcare business, they brought down a team from BMed. Mo Patton was the CEO. We all sat around and said, oh, this is just a way to improve operations. Well, then about a year later, we're getting rid of the family residence program. We're getting rid of the agreement with the VA. We're getting rid of the ICU. We're getting rid of the ER. Nothing to worry about there. Just hundreds of jobs lost, just a normal consolidation. So when I got elected, I found about this thing, and I said, oh, man, not another lease. Now, that doesn't always mean it's going to happen, but you have to be in the game, and you have to be fighting because other communities will be fighting. And what I'd like to share with you, if you just look over at Santa Rosa for a second, I was stationed out there as lieutenant too. If you go back to 1976, the New York Times article, February 15th, they say Army training will be moving. I mean, Whiting Field training will be moving to Fort Rucker in Alabama. You move forward to basically 1993, Army rejects Navy bid to delay consolidation of helicopter training. If you look in 1993, the Army says, inside the Army, we will be moving, accepting training from Whiting Field. Whiting Field has done a great job to make themselves resilient now. And unfortunately, I was a OIC of the clinic out at the base when we brought 479th on, the Air Force unit. And I was basically there to see how many flight surgeons we needed based on the amount of student through population. 479th, if you look at the history, has moved 8 times in the last 50 years. They are a moving unit. We need to keep them. They bring in a lot of economy to Escambia County. we want to keep them. They're a good neighbor for.
And by the way, I just in case, because many people don't even know, like you saying that there's an Air Force training element on NAS Pensacola is news to a lot of people. So I'm just wanting to pause to include them and say, yeah, the 479th that trains combat systems officers, backseaters, over on NAS Pensacola is a pretty significant operation. And yes, it's an Air Force training operation at the base. Go ahead. I just want, because I know for a lot of people, they don't know this stuff.
No,
and
you're absolutely
go ahead.
Right. I could talk in military acronyms a little bit. Sorry about that.
I know, it's normal.
You know, and then you look at the other bases like Coy Field, that we've been training crypto there forever. You look at the Navy Hospital. You look at Softly Field that's no longer out there. It's a federal prison camp. But they used to have a pretty robust operation out there.
Right. It's a solar field, and they have inmates now, right?
Yep, solar field and inmates. You got it. So when you say, oh, nothing's changing around here, well, look at NADEPS when we had the 1993 BRAC. That went away. Hundreds of jobs. Now, we brought some stuff in, and that's good. And earlier you were talking about the Blue Angels. The Blue Angels is a recruitment tool for the Navy. They're not part of training, equipping, and supporting the warfighter. That's the mission of the Navy, and we get off track sometimes. So you are absolutely right. Everyone loves the Blue Angels. I love them. I love them until the last 2 days with the traffic going in the back base where I got hundreds of calls for all the citizens out there. But the bottom line is we love them. We want to keep them here. But that's not the mission of NAS Pensacola.
Absolutely. So, and that's the thing, I think, again, because people don't know, okay? Because we, like people like me, haven't done enough of a job of explaining it to folks that, look, the Blue Angels are the thing everybody sees, the thing everybody knows. They have the great planes on the water tower and on the overpasses and all that stuff. But the Blue Angels is a luxury item, a dessert item that we would feel horrible if they lost, and we would lose, you know, tourism dollars there. But the heart of NAS Pensacola is the massive training mission for all of the, the support staff around aviation. That's what NAS Pensacola really means to this economy.
Well, if you even read the compatibility utilization study, they talk about the $6.6 billion that it affected in the economy, the 60,000 students that come through. So it's enlisted aviation training, it's crypto training, it's training naval aviators. It's across the spectrum. And, another thing I think people forget, if you don't remember, we used to have AOCS here, Aviation Officer Candidate School. You know where that went to? Newport, Rhode Island. It got consolidated. Now everyone that goes to officers indoctrination school goes to Newport. So we've lost all kinds of things. The brig's another good example. We used to have a brig on the base. All the brigs now go over to, I believe, Charleston. I mean, I could go on, and I could talk about Navy healthcare, how we've lost multiple. I taught for over a decade for BUMED all over Navy health installations across the globe. And I could literally tell you at least 25 that have either been shut down, decreased, or consolidated. All you have to do is look at Walter Reed that used to be Bethesda Naval Hospital. It's now Army Hospital that's a joint. And you know, that's where the president goes. So there's multiple factors here. It's part of a smaller service. And I'll let you – when I went in the Navy –
Hey, Mike, hang on just a second. We need to take a real quick break. We're going to come back to this. We're talking to Mike Kohler. He's a commissioner for District 2, longtime Navy – retired Navy captain, talking about the base and the future of NAS Pensacola and the concerns he has about our presentation of information to the Navy to persuade them to keep missions here. Jake has got traffic on the fives. Jake?
Okay, I'll keep it short and sweet. I'm not seeing any major issues on our roadways. I-10 and I-110 are flowing smoothly. Highway 98 through Tiger Point Gulf Breeze is good. Coming out of Milton through Pace on Highway 90 is clear, and Highway 29 south through Cantonment is good. If you see anything out there, let me know. 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. Back to Mike Kohler. Okay, Mike, as a layman, okay, when I look at this situation, I think we've known for a long time the schools were a problem. We've known for a long time that hurricane threat and the cost of rebuilding is a problem. We more recently know that the price of housing and the traffic congestion are problems for quality of life. And these are all things that take long-term solutions. Are there other aspects? What do we need to do? And, you know, starting with just this compatibility use study, does the study itself need to be significantly transformed to put our best foot forward to maintain at least what we've got with the Navy?
Well, there's some positive things in the study that highlight government inefficiency. For example, the TPO where the Gulf Beach Highway, you can go from east to Panama City to Navy and Brancas, and then you go to Alabama border. And it's a two-lane road. How is that possible?
Well, you got to look at the TPO process, even though that's the only road mentioned in the compatibility use study. And, you know, so you got to look at it that. You look at Chiefs Way, that was a pretty easy cleanup, right? You look at the front gate, and you could go into Baptist. The first thing you come off the front gate of the base, you have old Marcello's that's been blight for probably 15 to 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, and the TPO went forward with the design to clean that up. We've done Old Quarry. The schools were just a hit. I thought that was unfair on the study. But here's the change in military mission. It's not just about mission. It's quality of life for family and kids that has totally changed in the last 10 to 15 years. So when you look at different things that would have never probably been considered in the past, they used to joke and say, your mom doesn't come in your sea bag. Well, yeah, your whole family comes in your sea bag, your dog, your sexual orientation, everything comes in it now. And that's all looked into it. And you're competing against a lot of different things that you struggle with on mission readiness. In my opinion, you know, I'm an old timer, you know, I was in a long time, but those things, when you look at, look at water quality, environmental impacts, which we're doing a lot. We have the White Island project that we're trying to get through the engineering, which will help with resiliency with exactly what you mentioned, Andrew, about hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right. The biggest concern for Big Navy is, can we sustain another hurricane and the cost to repair the base? I've talked to a previous CO about that, and he knows this. When the BCNO came down, hey, we could. They feel that's a big threat to keeping mission there. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to move it, but it always comes up. Is the hurricanes worth the cost of doing business in Pensacola? Well, a lot of communities have that. Jacksonville, Corpus Christi, all have those same threat risks, right? So, you know, you got a lobby that you're doing everything you can to sustain that. You know, if you, say we moved to Nebraska or Louisiana, you've got tornadoes, right? So you got to make the right argument. But in my opinion, you look at some of the stuff. So the public works, I don't like the word center of excellence for when, you know, on the cyber training. I thought what they were saying at Chiefs Way, which there were some good ideas to clean up the front gate, put in some lighting. But cyber training is now under the Secretary of the Air Force, and they designate all training under the DOD Directive 5101. And so they could move that base tomorrow on a service line cut. I hope they never would, but the Navy, I don't think, could do anything to say, please stop. You know, and Fort Gordon has a center of excellence in cybersecurity. So you start looking at terminology and how we talk in the military, and you always have to think, is there a threat? And I wish they ever, you know, all of my colleagues would have made comments. If you look at the stakeholders in this, when I first started getting involved in this, and I mentioned this from the dais, there was no one there. They're putting out a study where there's only a handful of people that could affect the whole county.
Wow.
And I asked for who's been at these minutes and the agenda before. Nothing. Couldn't produce anything. So that was the first concern. Do we have the right visibility? Do we have enough public outcry and opinion? And I didn't believe there was. And that's why I would have never voted for this if it had to come to a vote for the dais. I would have said no. And I think I stated that pretty clearly.
Yeah, you did. And, you know, look, Mike, we have to let you go here in a second. And this is a much bigger conversation. You had told me something briefly when we were getting on the air, right before we came on the air, regarding, for example, the 479th. You found some information. That's the Air Force training mission here. What did you find out?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to get too over the top of my skis, but so someone had texted me, I don't want to mention their name, that they were going to divest some of the planes in the Air Force at 479. Well, last night I was at the opera with an aviator that happened to be sitting next to me, and it is true. But what they're going to do is they're going to integrate simulation training.
Okay.
I don't know if that's going to cut any billets down the road, or if it's going to be someone on the Air Force side or the base deal needs to talk about that more thoroughly. But I do believe it's true that there will be some divestation of aircraft. I've been told 21 to 22 planes out there, and it's going to move into a simulation-based training. Those are all things that may be better. I don't know. Maybe worse, right?
Right.
You know, we probably need to ask some questions, but I just found out about that 2 days ago. And Debbie Graham, which works on those. Huh?
No, I was just going to say, and that's kind of the point you're making, is that there are so many facets to the mission at NAS Pensacola and Corey and Whiting. And as you say, Whiting has done a really good job over the years of really protecting itself from these threats. NAS Pensacola and Corey, just because of a lot of circumstances, are in, I think, a much more vulnerable position, and we need to take that seriously collectively as a county, leadership on down to the ordinary folks. So I just wanted to have you come on to talk about this for a minute, Mike. You and I could talk about non-base-related things
can
for another hour.
Just a few but more seconds, Andrew?
I
don't want to leave on. Okay. The Admiral Quinn is very involved with the governor on the Defense Health Resiliency Team, and the Emerald Coast Military Incident Resilience Review is working on this. So it's not all doom and gloom, but we all need to be vigilant. That's all I wanted to close on. Thank you.
No, that's all. That's very good information. And I definitely want to see from our commissioner leadership outside of your voice a real understanding of the urgency and the significance of this. Mike Kohler, Escambia County Commissioner for District 2. Mike, as always, thank you for the time. Great to talk to you, and we'll talk to you again soon, sir.
All right, have a great day, Andrew. Bye.
You bet. 655 News Radio 92.3, Jake has got our traffic on the fives. Jake?
Well, I'm not seeing any major issues on our roadways to report. Looks like Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre is flowing smoothly. I-10 and I-110 look clear. If you're coming out of Milton through Pace on Highway 90 this morning, not seeing anything slowing you down. And Highway 29 is clear from the Atmore Cutoff in Molino through Cantonment. Gulf Beach Highway not showing any delays, and we're good on Burgess and Olive. If you see anything out there on the roadways, you can always call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Get ready to tantalize your taste buds with the all-new Coke. Introducing Coke Spiced. Picture this, the refreshing taste of Coca-Cola. Now with a twist, Coke Spiced takes your favorite soda to a whole new level. So why settle for ordinary when you can experience extraordinary? Enjoy a taste of the spiced side of life with the all-new Coke Spiced. With a delicious burst of raspberry and spiced flavors, grab a bottle of the all-new Coke Spiced today and spice up your life. Coke Spiced. Taste the excitement. Feel the flavor. Available now at your nearest store.
Fleet Feet Pensacola, your running, walking shoe store, now open on Sundays. Come by our Pensacola store at 236 West Garden Street across from Everman. We use our Fit ID scanner and pressure plate analysis to fit you in the right running, walking, or comfort shoe. We offer running and walking coach training programs. Fleet Feet is here to make your life better. Get your free foot scan today at Fleet Feet on Garden.
Do you find yourself stuck in a timeshare? Get the real facts about the timeshare industry and your options for cancellation. Chuck McDell, founder of Wesley Financial Group, has put together a free information guide that reveals the secrets the timeshare industry doesn't want you to know, including the five ways to get rid of your timeshare. Call now and get this timeshare information guide absolutely free. Call 800-919-3200. That's 800-919-3200. 800-919-3200.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I.
Joe! I need a
before there was Phil Collins.
Oh. You mean he didn't write that song?
No, funny thing. He didn't write that song.
His doo-wop was so original and believable.
Oh, man. 6:58 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, on Wednesday, the head of the National Transportation Safety Board gave some more information on the cargo ship that slammed into that bridge earlier this week. They say it was hauling 60 containers filled with hazardous materials, including corrosives and flammables. And they say some of those containers were breached, and there's now a sheen on the water in that river there. And it's now been 1 year since the Covenant school shooting in Nashville. The private Christian school shooting claimed six lives. In a statement released Wednesday, Tennessee Governor Bill Lee said Tennessee has been forever changed.
Thanks so much, David. Future news. Okay, 5 years from now, are we up, down, or even on missions and presence at NAS Pensacola and Corey Station?
I'm going to say even. I'm just going to leave it in the middle.
I would love to say even, but if you ask me my honest opinion, I think we're down. Some. The question is how much. I hate to say it, but I do worry about that. Will the eventual final ruling on the Replevin-Burgage text thing go his way or the other?
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.